Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the PHNX D-backs podcast right here live from Four Peaks Brewing Company on 8th Street. Of course, I am your mayor of PHNX, occasionally known as Derek Montilla. This guy next to me, he's the vice mayor. He's also your thunderstick, Jesse Friedman.
The calm before the storm, Derek.
The calm before the storm. And we have to sit here and smell people eating delicious chicken tenders.
We do.
With empty stomachs while we do this show. So I'm not thrilled about that, but I have a delicious wow wheat from our friends here at Four Peaks. Jesse, of course, has water, and he is needing to hydrate and take care of himself. Our baby boy is going off to Los Angeles.
I'm about to drive for about 6 hours.
That's
Derek,
right after this show. So no beers for Jesse.
Hydrating as well as I can.
Yeah, we need him to be sharp. We need him to be ready because opening day is here, my friends. Congratulations to those of you that made it, and a very happy opening day tomorrow to all those who celebrate. But we are very excited. We're sadly, it's a wrap on spring training for 2023, which we weren't ready. It's not. I mean, look at how cool that damn logo is there in the corner. We weren't ready.
Yeah, we're gonna lose our little spring training logo. Yeah, the logo. Bottom right corner. I'm not ready for that.
We lose the little like cactus landscapey stuff down there at the bottom. I like all of that, but we are very excited for opening day. And this year's Arizona Diamondbacks team obviously is very exciting. But before we get to that, we do have some final news to kind of wrap up. Jesse was out at Chase Field watching the final exhibition games, getting to see the Arizona Diamondbacks improve their spring training record to 16-14. We did it. We got over Mount 500.
Let's go. The Cactus League championship ultimately went to the Los Angeles Angels.
So of course it did.
Congrats to our friends in Anaheim.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, when all was said and done, they didn't start spring training particularly well.
They did not. No, they lost a lot of games
early
on.
So finishing 16-14 means absolutely nothing, and we don't care.
Nothing. We don't care at all. But if you want to feel good about something, it's kind of like the competition between Ryan Nelson, right, and Dre Jameson, whereas one of the deciding factors might have been the fact that Dre Jameson kind of caught a bit of fire, Ryan Nelson caught a bit of fire there at the end, had a little bit better outings, including his final outing of the year. And it's encouraging that the Diamondbacks have kind of gotten a bit better as spring training rolled along and you know, as their guys have gotten some experience playing together, because there are some new pieces to this team. Injuries have changed the landscape of this team and Major League Baseball already without even my prediction from yesterday's show about it, you know, impacting things in a bigger way. But they did win both games versus the Guardians. Pretty thrilling comeback, actually, on Monday night.
Yeah.
Because they were down significantly there.
They were down 6-0 at the seventh inning stretch. By the bottom of the eighth, they were up 7-6.
What the hell?
And then Scott McGuff came in the ninth and shut the door.
Shut the door.
It was a fun game to watch. Again, it means absolutely nothing. But what does mean something from that game is the contributions of some of the young players on this baseball team. Davis and DeLos Santos had a big extra base hit in that game. Jordan Lawler was the guy who hit the big two-run home run that put the Diamondbacks in front. So
exciting.
The youth movement is right around the corner. And after that game, we asked Torey Lovello about, like, does it excite you a little bit to see some of these guys doing what they're doing? And of course, he was absolutely elated about what he saw out there on the field.
Yeah, we saw Drew Jones play in yesterday's game. And
that was
in his
pretty cool.
first ever at bat at Chase Field, he nearly went yard.
He nearly went yard.
And I, 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 like it would have almost been too much had he done that, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Like the people would have said, call him up now. Like, there's no way that you could have held back people's excitement and anticipation for him being part of the major league roster if he would have just dingered on his first at bat at Chase Field. But
I mean,
it almost happened.
In a sense, that was Drew Jones's first professional at bat because he didn't play at all in the minors last year, right? And, and like his first BP, that's when the shoulder thing happened. And so he had surgery and didn't actually play at all in the minors last year. So his first at bat at Chase Field, it was kind of a poetic moment, honestly. And of course we tweeted out the clip over from Bally Sports Arizona of you know, Drew Jones in center field after it happened. He's like doing his little like bench press thing, showing
just a couple more reps.
Yeah,
and
a couple more reps,
over.
And that's over the fence. And then of course
his dad commented on Twitter.
His dad quote tweeted and said, "Get in the gym, kid," or something along those lines. So I'm excited for that to materialize over the years. You know, Drew Jones clips being floating around on Twitter, and his dad just
keep
chiming in every once in a while. I think we're going to be very entertained to see those two interact over the years.
Oh yeah.
Dad's
not going to let him slack at all. And the bigger thing is dad is going to embarrass him publicly. It's not just going to be a private disappointment. It's going to be a public one. But I did love his dad commenting on getting back in the gym. All the young guys, they showed up, they showed out. It's what we wanted to see during spring training. It was a great exhibition during these exhibition games. But you know who didn't put on a good showing? You. The fans that were there at Chase Field that night. Because let's take a look at what some people are calling a wave that took place at Chase Field in Monday night's game. Oh, God. Come on. Jesse, no.
There were, I don't remember the attendance on this dozens of people in a stadium that holds nearly 50,000, and they tried to do the wave, Derek.
No, they did not.
They tried.
Just because you stand up and put your hands in the air does not
they
mean
tried.
A wave. You need more people than that. And see, here's
you
the
do,
thing.
But they tried.
I don't care. If you don't have enough people, you can't do a conga line, which Jesse now knows what that is.
That's true.
If you don't have enough people, and you can't do a wave if you don't have enough people. And that's basically what happened. I do appreciate the effort of those of you that tried, but maybe you shouldn't have tried. I'm just saying. Sometimes
that was the most Chase Field thing that I've ever seen. I'm sorry, Derek. Yeah. I'm going to say it.
Wow.
It was an exhibition game, so we're not knocking that there aren't that many people in the crowd because I don't know why you would have attended this game in the first place.
Charles says ban the wave. He's absolutely correct about that. Nick Sutphin says 14 people tried. They did. They did try. They
because
tried hard.
It was a close game, Derek.
It was
like,
a,
it
good,
wasn't,
it was
this,
a close
this
game.
Was not, this was not a blowout baseball game the way that things turned out. So
was this
had,
during the comeback? Was this post-comeback? When was this?
I don't
this?
Remember exactly okay. what inning it was, but I want to say it was when the game was pretty close at the end there. I don't know if it was 7-6 at that point. Maybe it was 6-3 or something like that, but I don't think this that happened when it was 6-0 or whatever earlier in the game. So, it was not a great showing by Diamondbacks fans.
Let's talk Ryan Nelson. You saw him in person. You saw his final outing in the spring. Do you think the D-backs made the right decision as far as going with Nelson and putting Dre Jameson in the bullpen?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think
the Diamondbacks know if they made the right decision either, frankly.
Yeah,
This was a really tough one. Jameson and Nelson, we've talked about their numbers in spring training and how they were very, very similar. Jameson, in many ways, outperformed Ryan Nelson in spring training. He had a strikeout rate of around 30% compared to Ryan Nelson's 18%. That's a really, really big difference.
For sure.
But I think anyone doubting that decision had to be really encouraged by what they saw yesterday from Ryan Nelson in that final tune-up. I don't know if I've ever seen Ryan Nelson have the full gamut of his arsenal working and ready in an outing. It wasn't just, you know, pumping four-seamer after four-seamer, trying to get swings and misses. He had the slider, he had the changeup, he had the curveball, and he got whiffs on every single one of his pitches, which I'm not sure I've ever seen from Ryan Nelson. So if he's that guy, if he's a guy who has a four-pitch mix, which is something we haven't really seen that much of, we've kind of just seen him spanning fastballs a lot. If he's that guy, he really has a chance to be a good starter. And I think, that was about as good as I've ever seen Ryan Nelson in that outing yesterday.
5 2/3 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, 5 Ks, 66 of his pitches were strikes. Or I'm sorry, 50 of his 66 pitches were strikes.
He was very efficient, just pounding the zone all the way through. It was a really good outing.
Was it his best outing of spring? Because I feel like it was. I mean, he might have had one or two that were right around here, but
no,
I feel like
I think that was his best outing, at least that we saw. He had a couple of outings on backlot fields that we didn't necessarily know all the details about. But yeah, I mean, that's
very encouraging.
That's one thing about Ryan Nelson that on paper has made him maybe a better option for the rotation than Jameson, is he really does have four pitches.
Right.
And those four pitches are all pretty viable. Like the curveball, the changeup, the slider, they came and went a little bit last year. They weren't necessarily consistent. But if you look at scouting reports of Ryan Nelson, it's not like they're all, you know, 40s or 45s on the 20 to 80 scale. Like those are actually some pretty decent secondary pitches when they're on. And Dre Jameson doesn't necessarily have that, right? It's the four seamer, it's a sinker, it's his slider, which is a really good pitch. But then the changeup and the curveball, you know, have kind of come and gone and are not really pitches he's too comfortable with. So Nelson on paper has the more complete arsenal of the two.
I think we have a clip of Torey Lovullo talking about his conversations with both Nelson and Jameson in regards to the decision to go with Ryan Nelson.
We'll have it a little bit later in
the
show.
Okay, all right, yeah, no problem. But yeah, they're obviously a difficult decision there when it comes to Torey Lovullo and you know, obviously these conversations, especially keeping Dre Jameson still kind of positive, right? We've heard the quote. Jesse had a wonderful article that he wrote on gophnx.com about Dre Jameson moving to the bullpen and his fiery comments, his fire in his blood about moving to the bullpen, right? But
there wasn't fire in his blood.
He's okay with it, right?
He's been very, very accepting of that role. Which, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really expect anything different. I just think Dre Jameson is a gamer, and he just wants to go out and he wants to help his team win by whatever means necessary.
Right.
And the Diamondbacks came to him and sat him down and said, "Hey, we think you're giving us the best chance to win games if you're in the bullpen to start the year." That is not something that Jameson is familiar with at all. He said that he's never pitched out of the bullpen. If you look at his career at Ball State, he did have a few relief appearances, I think maybe at the very beginning. I'm not sure exactly what the circumstances there were. But yeah, by and large, since he became a pro, he has been a starting pitcher. So this is uncharted territory for the Diamondbacks right-hander. But he's embracing the challenge, and he's ready for you know, whatever this will require of him, even if he doesn't really know exactly how it works yet.
And he said, and Jesse quotes, "I don't give a shit," he told manager Torey Lovullo. "I just want to win ball games. Come on. How do you not love this guy? Like, I love Dre Jameson. I love his attitude. I mean, I'm sure. Any pitcher is going to take it as a demotion being moved from the starting rotation to the bullpen. I guess the question there is, what's a bigger demotion, being sent down to AAA Reno or being sent into the bullpen, right? I think that even Dre Jameson, knowing his competitive nature, would much rather pitch at a major league level.
He was an all-star, and you know, I think deserves to be there. But yeah, the second half last year wasn't as good for Joe Mantiply. So yeah, it sounds like kind of a dead arm sort of a situation, something that shouldn't be too long. Torey Lovullo made it sound like this could be a minimum stay. So it might just be the 10 days on the IL and then they bring him right back up. But it does create an opportunity for Kyle Nelson, who we know we showed a clip of Torey talking about Kyle Nelson the other day and how difficult it was for the Diamondbacks to make that move and send him down. So they get to start the season with Kyle Nelson on the opening day roster after all. So I think that, you know, there's certainly some good that comes out of that, and hopefully Kyle can make the best of it.
Apparently, we lost our audio for a significant period of time there. Don't know what happened.
Oh, that's my fault. Yeah. I was trying to put the Torey clip in there for you, and I accidentally clicked the mute on the broadcaster.
Nice. Good job, Damon. Good job, Damon.
Damon is thriving.
Damon, spring training is over, my man. All right, it's fucking time to perform.
Well, he's got one more day, right?
I don't know. Today's supposed to be an off day, so yeah, maybe you just tightening things up there at the end.
Yeah, it was
right?
Just all the rust out at the very end.
Yeah, just
got to
get it out.
We need Damon in mid-season form.
We really do.
But today it's all right.
I mean, you're going to be coming out of the bullpen to start the season, Damon, but we want to move you back into the starting rotation. And Torey Lovullo, again, like we said, we did have some comments from Lovullo on what his conversations with both Ryan Nelson and Dre Jameson were like.
Yeah, they were great. They were great. Dre was typical Dre. He said, "I don't give a shit. I just want to win baseball games." So that to me defines exactly who he is, and he knows he's going to help us win baseball games other than starting every fifth day. But I know he wants to be a starter. I try to beat him to the punch by telling him that I know he wants to be a starter, and he reemphasized that only one time, and then he's told me what he told me. Nelly was typical Nelly style, very humble, very quiet, very appreciative. And you know, whether we get it right or wrong, we don't know. You know, we've got a lot of really good arms, and there's a lot of different moving parts here, and we gotta win baseball games. And the conversations we had led us down this road, and we feel very good about this decision. So,
yeah, I think Ryan Nelson and Dre Jameson have two very different personalities.
They really do,
which is funny. Really, I mean, they were roommates throughout their minor league journeys. I don't believe they'd be roommates anymore. I don't know, maybe they are. But yeah, this is, you can definitely see their different reactions in this situation. Ryan Nelson hears the news that he's the fifth starter, that he won the job. And he's just kind of like, cool, you know, he's a little bit more quiet and, you know, didn't have this crazy reaction or anything. Ryan told us the same thing. And then, you know, you hear Dre Jameson's fiery reaction to just being on the opening day roster and how excited he was for that role. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that the Diamondbacks are able to start the year with both of these guys. It was a really hard decision that they were going to have to make. I know a lot of people would still like to have seen Brandon Pfaadt in this starting rotation. Oh, the Diamondbacks decided not to go that route. But between Nelson and Jameson, it was a really, really hard call to make. And with the way the Diamondbacks did this, they get to keep both of those guys. And who knows? Maybe, as you said earlier, Jameson does find his way back into the rotation at some point.
The New York Yankees did a thing where they recorded Anthony Volpe getting getting a call, you know, or getting a conversation.
I love those videos.
But it's kind of funny because it's like there is part of me that watches that and thinks like, this should probably just be a private moment. Like, I don't know. I mean,
no, come on, Derek.
I think it's cheesy that they try to like record it without his knowledge and have a phone going over there at the side. But that's just me. Whatever. I
remember last year when Julio made the Seattle Mariners opening day roster.
That was electric.
That was one of the best ones I've seen. Jordan Walker also made the St. Louis Cardinals opening day roster this year. There was a video of him floating around.
20 years old. I don't. That guy's trouble. He's trouble for our Corbin Carroll Rookie of the Year bid.
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, for sure.
That is true.
For sure. But going back to what we were talking about, Dre Jameson did accept his role in the bullpen, and he will be part of the opening day bullpen. And apparently he tried to consult Andrew Chafin for advice, which really, unless it's about hunting or
how to
put chains on your tires for snow, like, I don't think that you really go to Andrew Chafin for advice. It didn't go so well. Here's the clip.
Not so much yet. I've talked to Chafin a little bit, but his response is not very helpful. just grab the ball and go and throw. I don't know what else to tell you. Which I kind of like that, because ultimately that's what you got to do. Like, there is no thinking. It takes the whole thinking process out of it when I feel like when you're in the bullpen. And I think I'm going to like that role a lot. But I also don't want to get comfortable with that role because it's not something I want to do later on in my career.
Reminds me of the time I tried to get advice from my big brother on changing a tire, and he was just like, put the wrench in and turn the thing. Like, what more do I need to tell you?
Yeah, Andrew Chafin is probably the funniest guy in the Diamondbacks clubhouse. And, you know, I wasn't around when Chafin was here in the past. So this is my first time getting to spend some time
around
him.
He's such a fun human being.
You don't have to spend much time around Andrew Chafin to know that he's kind of a character.
Let me tell you, Chafin and Wade Miley sitting around in a clubhouse together before a game, especially when we were there to interview somebody else and not them, they were trouble.
He definitely does do that. When we're in the clubhouse to interview someone else, he gets a little bit jealous, and he's like, when are you guys talking to me?
When are you going
to
talk to me?
I pitched today. Like, when are you guys going to talk
to me? He does not like the lack of attention.
No,
right?
But no, he doesn't. He enjoys the spotlight.
He's oddly an attention seeker, but you guys already knew that about him, and you already knew he was going to be part of the bullpen. But Kyle Nelson returns to the bullpen, who was sent down to AAA Reno after some tough decisions being made. We already aired Lavello's thoughts on that, but that was not an easy decision for them to make. So it's good to see with this opportunity, with Joe Mantiply being on the injured list, that Kyle Nelson gets that shot.
Yeah, and I think this is also why bringing in Andrew Chafin was so big for this team, because it turned Kyle Nelson into that depth guy that you're going to need. You're going to need that depth guy to come in. Kyle Nelson is really the next man up as far as lefties are concerned. If the Diamondbacks hadn't brought in Andrew Chafin, then you're looking at starting the year with Nelson and Mantiply, and then if Mantiply goes down, there aren't really a lot of great options in the minors for the Diamondbacks. So, I know a lot of people might have thought the Chafin move was unnecessary or something because of how good Nelson was last year and how good Mantiply was last year, but you can see that depth really helping out in this situation.
Nelson and Chafin on the opening day bullpen, as well as Scott McGuff, who has a good chance to be the closer with the way that they're positioning him, and so far his spring has been damn good. So
it's closer by committee, Derek.
Closer by committee, they say.
Torrey is not coming allegedly off that. It's pretty clearly closer by committee.
Well, we'll see Torrey Lavello. Just like, I'm going to like play guys every day. Yeah, I don't believe
I don't
that
think
at all
McGuff, I do think McGuff could be the closer at some point this season. I don't think the Diamondbacks would start him there. Just because
really?
The man hasn't pitched in the big leagues, Derek, in a very long time. And when he did pitch in the big leagues, he hardly had a single inning.
Yeah.
It was years ago. So, I don't think the Diamondbacks are about to put Scott McGuff, straight over from Japan. You know, here you go at Dodger Stadium with a one-run lead and 50,000 fans screaming at you. I don't think they're gonna do that.
Go, Scott McGuff. Do your thing. we've already talked about Miguel Castro and Kevin Ginkle kind of being locks, but it looks like the final two pieces besides Dre Jameson will be Cole Sulcer and Carlos Vargas per Gambo.
Yeah, Carlos Vargas made the team. He did the thing.
Did the thing, man. And honestly, we saw him throw the ball harder than we saw most people throw the ball this spring. So I'm excited for it. I don't know if it'll work out, but I mean, I think that the Diamondbacks do have a really nice mix of guys that have good stuff, guys that are powerful, guys that just have that overpowering stuff that just give you a completely different look out of the pen after you've seen, Merrill Kelly for 6-7 innings, and then you're going to come out.
Why you got to do that to Merrill Kelly? Why you got to make it sound like he doesn't have good stuff?
After you watch Madison Bumgarner for 4.5 innings, then you're going to have to face Carlos Vargas. Is that better? I don't know. Whatever one I wanted to go
I'm giving you a hard time.
I know.
Carlos Vargas throws 100 miles an hour, and he has a 92, 93 mile an hour slider. The results in spring training were good, not great. I wouldn't say he was unhittable. But he did have a healthy number of punch outs and didn't walk that many guys. I think Justin Martinez had some more issues with the walk.
With the walks, for sure.
Justin
Martinez was still throwing 102 like it was nothing. Like it was effortless. So,
yeah.
Again, another, you say that they, as far as a Joe Mantiply like guy, they don't have anybody else really in the minors, but they still have some very exciting arms and, in relief that they have at Reno, at Amarillo in minor league. So it's going to be very
exciting.
Justin
Martinez will be up at some point.
He will definitely be up.
Which is crazy because he's still only 21 years old. So
speaking of Amarillo, they won the Athletics minor league madness. The minor madness tournament breakdown.
I did not see that.
Shout out to Zach Buchanan for an amazing piece that Buchanan put together on the history of the Amarillo Sod Poodles. So they have everything you need to know on our friends from Amarillo over there. So make sure to check that out.
So
they won the whole thing.
The best team name?
Best team name.
Okay.
The whole thing.
The Amarillo Sod Poodles.
And the Calf Fries.
I mean, I'm sure we're part of
both,
that.
Both names win. Both names are undefeated, really. Last bit of roster news. Jose Herrera ends up winning the backup catching job over PJ Higgins to the surprise of nobody, especially considering Jose Herrera, like you pointed out, can play first base, and it's just
going to... At least allegedly
he can play first base, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, Jose Herrera, the offense is a struggle, right?
It absolutely is.
He didn't hit much last year for the Diamondbacks, and he was 2-for-35 in spring training, if I'm not mistaken. Both of those hits were singles. It's pretty rough, Derek, and the Diamondbacks were, at one point Mike Hazen said that they were exploring external options as well, outside of, Higgins or Jose Herrera.
Sure, because they don't want Gabby Moreno playing as many games as inevitably he's going to have to play, especially if Carson Kelly misses as significant amount of time as his injury could, right? Like we've seen it, 3 months to 6 months. 6 months is not good, and you never know when, obviously an athlete is going to get the best care versus guys like us getting me. Jesse takes care of himself. I do not take care of myself at all. But, you know, you definitely have no idea where he's going to end up on that range. So, I mean, you know, again, they don't want Gabby Moreno being their primary starter just based on his age and his experience. They really want him to not have that workload and not just kind of be overwhelmed mentally with that much, that many games played, right? Like, we talked about Christian Walker, first base. Christian Walker played 160 games last year, whether it was DH or first base. So that man has the stamina to, you know, obviously be just need kind of a backup like Jose Herrera or somebody for
someone who can be
a
there.
Few games and maybe when he's DHing and things like that, right? But
yeah, I think
catcher's different.
I think with Herrera, what allows the Diamondbacks to make that move, even though frankly I don't think you can really expect much offense there, this lineup is a lot deeper than it's been in the past.
They had guys like Jose Herrera, no offense again to him, but starting, right? And multiple times last year where they needed to just bring somebody in literally to give them a body to start in the starting lineup so that they didn't have these guys, you know, playing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so
Herrera played almost 50 games at catcher last year. So, the Diamondbacks leaned on him quite a bit during that time frame when Carson Kelly was hurt. So, yeah, the lineup is just deeper. The lineup is just better all the way around. And so, you know, if it's Herrera and Nick Ahmed at the bottom some days, I think you can be okay with that because you know that you're going to get better production from the top seven than you would have had last year.
Drew Jones, Edward F. Shore in our chat said Drew Jones looks sensational. Discuss. Yeah, he did. His hair looked great. His arm looked great. His bat looked great.
His hair did look great.
His hair looked really great. So
I will say one thing that was that I've heard a lot about Drew Jones. This is the first time that I've actually seen him play. Is that he almost exclusively hits the ball to the opposite field.
Wow.
That was part of Drew Jones' scouting report, which is like a pretty. It's kind of a problem. It's kind of a good problem in some ways for a young player. That's not something you'd really be too afraid of.
Doesn't it mean he's, based on my limited MLB The Show 2023 experience, doesn't it mean he's behind a little bit on his swing? Like he's not ahead on the pitches?
Sort of. Yeah. I mean, it has to do with kind of your bat path and your general approach out there at the plate. But yeah, sure enough, it wasn't just, you know, the near homer to the fence in right field that happened in his first at bat, but he knocked a single at like 99 off the bat in his second at bat. So, and sure enough, both of them were to the opposite field. So this is my first time seeing Drew play. And
can't wait
it was like, all right, maybe the scouting report is accurate. The other thing we haven't talked about with Drew Jones, Derek, is did you see that clip of him singling off of one Shohei Ohtani?
Yes, that's correct.
Out of Tempe Diablo on
a backfield game.
Yeah.
Woo.
And that one was also to the opposite field. Yeah. So I guess it just furthers that point. But yeah, Drew is, you know, I mean, talking to people around the game, you're not going to find people who have really anything bad to say about Drew Jones. He looks like the real deal, and hopefully this season he has a chance to go out and prove it in the minors.
Cannot wait to watch him. And we cannot wait for opening day. We're so glad you guys are here right now. If you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. Join us here at Four Peaks 8th Street Pub if you can for some chicken tendies. And if you're listening to us on your favorite audio podcasting app, leave us a review and subscribe if you haven't done so already. We appreciate you doing so. We also love thumbs up, likes, thumbs ups. It's that instant gratification that we need in life to keep this thing going. Jesse has wonderful writing, by the way, over at gophnx.com. If you've never experienced his articles, make sure to check it out. He has more.
It is an experience.
It's an experience. It's not just an article. It's not just reading. It's an experience. But he has more on Dre Jameson embracing his unfamiliar bullpen role and the Diamondbacks' final roster. Now that we are this close, they did it again to him. Joe Mantiply, now with shoulder fatigue, made Jesse look like a fool. But no, he really didn't. He looks great, and he does an excellent job at taking a look. He's been fairly accurate, I think, all spring long, with that one exception of Dre Jameson. Kind of,
I think I get a solid B for my roster.
I give you a B plus.
I was right on a lot of things, and not right on other things.
Yeah,
so.
No, but it's fine. Check out all of that, and if you want to make sure you don't miss a single thing from Jesse, get his full count newsletter, which you can get by being a diehard member over at gophnx.com. Get yourself a diehard membership, and you'll get a free piece of merchandise from the phnxlocker.com. Every year you're a member, you'll get 20% off all future purchases. You'll get members-only merchandise, members-only invites to events, members-only discounts with our partners, and so much more. The newsletters, not only Jesse's, but all the writers here, you get those newsletters as well, and you get access to our members-only Discord lounge, which is absolutely the best place to be Arizona sports fan. So make sure to join us today over at gophnx.com. We thank you guys so much for doing that, and we are so excited to place our bets this baseball season with our friends at BetMGM. Super excited about the sports book that we can go check out at State Farm Stadium, as well as some monthly cornhole leagues that I'm absolutely going to be participating
wow.
in 1,000%. Might get Team PHNX D-backs over there.
Weren't we supposed to take on Petey and Leah at some point in cornhole?
Right. That's
somebody
right.
put a request out there on Twitter for that to
that
happen.
Is right. Gonna, well, that still needs to happen. That still needs to happen. But what also needs to happen is you get all your future bets in, including Rookie of the Year, get your Corbin Carroll bets in, get your NL Cy Young Award bets for Zach Gallen in, all that over at BetMGM Sportsbook. And if you haven't signed up for BetMGM now, you can use a bonus code of PHNX and you will get up to $1,000 on your first $1,000 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code PHNX. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you will receive up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your bet loses. Just make sure you use bonus code PHNX when you sign up. And to kick off this partnership, again, we are here at Four Peaks, but you have to join us this Saturday at 2 p.m. for a massive watch party at the BetMGM Sportsbook at State Farm Stadium. I will be there. Jesse will be in L.A., but come hang out with me and come watch the last stages of college basketball play out. And as they will have food and beverage specials, giveaways, massive TVs to watch the game on, and so much more. Plus, if you register and place your first bet with promo code PHNX, when you sign up, you will receive a free PHNX shirt. That's it. Free PHNX shirt. Now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer. Do you have the disclaimer? Said it and listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Promotional offers not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, New York, and Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey,
Shane there?
Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369, New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona, 1-800-522-4700, Kansas, Nevada, 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help, Michigan.
All right. There we go. Like we said, Jesse will be in L.A. for the series preview, or for the series against the Dodgers. He'll also be in San Diego for the series against the Padres. But the series pitching matchups are very intriguing. And honestly, let's see what we got when it comes to the matchups for the pitching. He's not paying attention at all. Our producer doesn't listen to us. He just has sidebar conversations. The whole time. Let's go ahead and have the pitching matchups for the yeah, let's do that. All right, we got Julio.
David has until tomorrow. He'll be in mid-season
four. I'm pulling him from the game right now. I'm going to call in the lefty on Emma. Can we get Emma Clark in here? No, we got Julio Urias and Zach Gallen on day one. Jesse thought on the opening day matchup.
So Zach Gallen finished fifth in Cy Young voting last year.
That's what I've heard.
I believe Julio Urias finished fourth. It's a fun pitching matchup. It's a really fun pitching matchup that we have to open the season. I know Diamondbacks fans have maybe had enough of Madison Bumgarner on opening day, where you're kind of watching it like the cracks in your hands, like trying not to look too close, and you know, looking at the velo and everything. But
well, this is right. Like I mean, it's something that we've said about positional battles this spring, about the Diamondbacks in general, but your best pitcher should be going. You should be your opening day starter, and this is finally looks correct as far as the order goes. You know, even Madison Bumgarner being above Zach Davies, I'm fine with that as far as this matchup, especially considering that we get. If you are a baseball fan, you got to appreciate Clayton Kershaw versus Madison Bumgarner. Not exactly something that you see very often in baseball.
Yeah, no, we haven't seen that, Derek, since September 19th, 2016. That was the last time that Madison Bumgarner pitched against Clayton Kershaw. Of course, at that point, Bumgarner was still a member of the San Francisco Giants. If you look at the numbers from that game, Derek, I had to go back and look at the box score. Madison Bumgarner, his last appearance against Clayton Kershaw, 7 innings, 1 hit, no runs allowed, no walks, 10 strikeouts.
What?
Madison Bumgarner was very good in that game. The Dodgers wound up winning the game. Kershaw was pretty good, too. But yeah, that was the last time that the Mad Bum and Kershaw faced off against each other almost 7 years ago.
Do you have the last time Zach Gallen went to the Los Angeles?
I do have the last
time. What about that?
Yeah, Zach Gallen last September not that long ago. Gallen's last appearance at Dodger Stadium. 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, no walks, 13 strikeouts. Woo! For Zach Gallen.
That looks like my opening day Zach Gallen from MLB The Show 2023 is what that looks like to me.
That's pretty close. I think you had a complete game.
I had a complete game
shutout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, against the Houston Astros, correct. Yes,
yeah.
I did. Very proud of that.
Yeah, but I mean, Gallen has certainly pitched pretty well against the Dodgers, so I think that bodes well for the Diamondbacks.
Absolutely.
Of course, the Diamondbacks did lose that game back in September, even though Gallen gave up 1 run over 8 innings. Reyes Maranta came in, gave up 2 runs, and that was that. But hopefully that doesn't happen in this series in LA. If the D-backs get some good outings from their starters, hopefully we see this new look bullpen shine a little bit in some of these big moments.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big key to them being better this season.
Yeah,
is this bullpen. So, you know, I know there's some people that aren't as excited about the pitching staff as they would like to be. I know Brandon Pfaadt not being part of the starting rotation, Dre Jameson not being start of the rotation might put fire in some people's bloods. I know. I get
some
it.
Some people's bloods.
Is
yes.
it bloods? Is it bloods? But I also think that, like, if you can't look at this bullpen and see that it's completely different and be excited about that potential, right? Like, that's what opening day and opening weekend is all about, right? Everybody's 0-0. You have no idea what your teams are going to really do at this point until games are played. And until the Diamondbacks play a team like the Dodgers, we really don't know where they stand. So I might be making this too big of a deal, right? But how important is it that they have a good showing in this series? Like, how critical is this to the D-backs' success in 2023 that they don't come out and get mollywopped in the first series against the Los Angeles Dodgers like we've seen them do in 4-game series in LA?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've had some ugly series there. There's no doubt about it. The Diamondbacks last year against both the Dodgers and the Padres were 5-14, I believe. That's a pretty bad record. And especially at Dodger Stadium, it's been a place where the Diamondbacks just have not played well. They played, feels like a lot of pretty close games there, but they just have a tendency to struggle to, you know, pull those games out in the end. So I think it's important. I don't want to overstate how important it is. You know, talking with guys in the clubhouse, I don't think the Diamondbacks are viewing this as some make or break event or anything like that. It'd be a little crazy to do that. And I would caution Diamondbacks fans, you know, if this team opens up 3-7 or 4-6 or something you're not too happy with, it doesn't necessarily mean much because the schedule the Diamondbacks face at the beginning of the year is genuinely insane. I mean, it doesn't really get much worse than opening with 4 in LA, going to San Diego for 2, and then your home opener also against LA with a 4-game series. That's a brutal 10 games to open the season against two of the best teams in baseball. If the D-backs go 5-5 in those first 10 games, Derek, I think that would be a huge success. And if you're 3-7, if you're 4-6, I'm not necessarily sounding the alarm at that point either. But I think just for fans and, you know, just for the optics of this season and all the optimism surrounding this team, it'd be nice to go into LA and, you know, split the series or something like that.
The Diamondbacks do not have, by any stretch of the imagination, the most difficult schedule this season. It looks like the Red Sox and the Orioles are both sure. facing primarily that, right?
The AL East is the toughest place to
absolutely be. But the Rockies are in the top 5 and the Diamondbacks are 11th as far as strength of schedule goes. So
at the beginning of the year, though, I think the Diamondbacks might have the first few weeks of the season, the Diamondbacks probably have the hardest schedule in baseball.
This is the overall ranking
for
the whole season,
yeah.
For sure. So very interesting. But again, I mean, it might just be, you know, overthinking it, but it does feel like even in losses, if the Diamondbacks are competitive, we can definitely, you know, get off on the right foot at least. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that there could be a loss of confidence because if the Dodgers do what the Dodgers have done to the Diamondbacks historically in Los Angeles,
yeah,
it could hit the confidence level. It could just kind of feel like this is the same old shit. Maybe not even just us fans, but maybe even to some of the players on the team. Again, that's why it makes it exciting that they have added a considerable number of pieces, that their team is so young, and that these guys, they don't have the same memory about the Dodgers and about you know, the Diamondbacks versus the Dodgers kind of rivalry that has existed over the years. But
yeah,
if you want some good news about the Dodgers, Mike Axia from CBSSports.com released his bold predictions article for 2023. And
I think he's kind of crazy.
And he has the Dodgers finishing with their worst record since 2012.
Huh. I mean, that's not necessarily a terrible record. The Dodgers have been pretty darn good.
What was their record in 2012?
That I don't know.
Oh, okay. But
I want to say in 13, we'll look it up. I want to say in 13, the Dodgers were somewhere in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I could possibly see the Dodgers winning somewhere in the 80s this year. Maybe high 80s, maybe 88, 89. I could maybe see that being possible. I still think this is a pretty darn good team, Derek. You know, we're used to the 111 win Dodgers.
Yeah.
We're used to them just having this.
Maybe they'll be a 96 win team instead.
Yeah, like
maybe.
I think that's more realistic. And you can beat a 96 win team. You know, like you can go into into their stadium and split a series or something. I'm looking
maybe even
at
sweep a series.
Who knows?
I just
want
to throw that
out
there.
Just going
to
throw
that
out
there. Trying to be positive. Said I was being negative earlier.
I will say, looking at last season, the Diamondbacks' first matchup against the Dodgers happened April 25th to April 27th. That was a home series against LA. The Diamondbacks won 2 out of 3 games in that series. I remember that being kind of a big high point at the beginning of the year for this baseball team. But then the Diamondbacks went to LA in May for the first time. And they got swept, Derek. They lost all 4 games.
I remember that.
That was a pretty rough series.
We were talking crazy before that series, and that series kind of put us back in our place because I think they won a kind of decent stretch of games heading into that against the Dodgers. But that's in the past. We're done with that now. We're not worried about what happened last year. That was a different team, and this is a different team. But speaking of Mike Axia's bold predictions, he also has Jordan Lawler finishing as the number one prospect in baseball by the end of this year, which,
yeah,
again, very exciting if you're an Arizona Diamondbacks fan.
Yeah, that one I think is that's a little more realistic. I mean, once you get into the upper levels of the minors, once you start doing it in Double-A and Triple-A, that's when it's like, okay, now we can make you a top 3, top 5 prospect in baseball. Last year Lawler had a fantastic season, but he ended the year at Double-A, and he wasn't particularly good once he got there. So you know, if he's able to come out this year and have some success in Double-A, get up to Triple-A, maybe make it to the majors at some point by the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, he's talented enough to be the best prospect in the game.
I need to address a comment in the chat where Nick Sutphin says, Derek over here playing on rookie. I actually wasn't, Nick. I was playing on dynamic difficulty, which apparently adjusts based on how bad or good you are. So maybe I was on rookie. Maybe I was on beginner. I don't know. But what I do know is I hit 4 dingers and I beat the goddamn Astros 10-0, and Zach Gallen had a complete game. You take that and use it for whatever prediction you have for opening day and Zach Gallen's performance against the Dodgers. But speaking of MLB The Show 2023, by the way, I want to just give a shout out to how incredible that game absolutely is. If you haven't had a chance to play it and are interested, if you're on the fence, absolutely do it. The Negro Leagues mode, where you play a storyline chapters for some of the stars from the Negro Leagues, like Satchel Paige, is absolutely fantastic. Not only is it this amazing history lesson that the game provides you with, right? But then you kind of play these situations where he did something significant, and they talk about like his 105 mile per hour fastball. They talk about the fact that he gave his pitches just other names, like the B-ball, which was his fastball. And he said, because it be where I want it to be when I want it to be there. And that's why he calls it the B-ball. Yeah. So, but there's like, again, there's so much history in this game. Like, I just felt myself like, I was just bubbling with how excited I was to play it, because, I mean, except for the introduction with Jazz, oh my God, they went so hard with Jazz in the beginning of that. Like, when you kick on that game, it was a bit much for me, but everything else was fantastic.
Can you skip it? Can you skip that?
I don't know.
Intro?
I didn't really want to, because it was fire. I mean, they were talking about how literally jazz music got its name from baseball, because there was a pitcher that used to throw a ball that he called the jazz ball, and that apparently is
really
where jazz got its name. So there is a lot. I mean, there's a lot
of
history.
That's actually a pretty incredible story.
I mean, there is a lot of history being shared, and I think that's the part I appreciate about this game is, like, I don't know. You just, if you love baseball, you're absolutely going to love this game. And by the way, if you don't already know about Xbox and Game Pass, the 2023 is on Game Pass, and you can get Game Pass for an extremely low amount. If you go on, look up the Xbox Live Gold membership Game Pass trick. I'll let you do the rest from there. But one thing I did want to ask you about opening series in LA. What are you eating in Los Angeles? Are you looking forward to eating anything yet? Have you even thought about it yet?
Well, I need to find like some authentic tacos because
you've been talking about tacos because, for like a week.
Yeah, well, that's like kind of the thing that LA is known for more than anything else. And I went to college in the LA metro area, so I went to some places, but I never found like a true authentic. I didn't go to downtown LA very often, so. Hopefully while I'm there.
A true authentic taco shop is on every corner, basically, in L.A. Like, it is wild how much wonderful Mexican food you get. It's like here, right? Like, I mean, we joke about the Burritos. We joke about Burrito Express, but Burrito Express is awesome. And honestly, you might low-key miss it because it's not this, you know, fancy location or anything, but Burrito Express is incredible. I will say this. I need, like, Jesse at, like, Randy's Donuts, which we brought up. Okay. I need Jesse at, like, you know, iconic Pink's Hot Dogs in Hollywood. Can
sure.
we get, yeah. He said sure. I know he's not going to. I know he's not going to do it, which is fine, but.
No, I mean, I've already been to Roscoe's. I went there a few times when I lived in the area.
Yeah,
so.
That was Saul's immediate challenge to you. And I think we all know why.
Like, I don't know why you guys doubt that I'll go to these places.
I don't doubt
like,
that you'll go to them at all.
I wouldn't call myself a foodie, but I'm down to go find something to eat in LA if I have some time.
I'm going to say that is by far my favorite thing to do. Like, the one reason I am jealous of you is because WrestleMania is occurring in LA the same weekend that this is going on. Obviously, Saul wouldn't have sent me because there's no way he would have gotten me to work with WrestleMania going on in the same town, right? We all know that, and I'm fine with that. but the one thing I do miss is going to, like, places like Roscoe's and eating with my friends. That's almost, like, now to the point, maybe I'm old, maybe I'm whatever. I almost look forward to that more than going to a city for an event like a game or, you know, a show like this, right? So... make sure you enjoy yourself there. I know you're going to be there for a while, and
Do they have salad and go in LA?
They do not. I'm sorry. They do not have salad and go. But we do want to give a shout-out once again to our friends at Four Peaks. Those are only available here in Arizona as well. But make sure to make your way out here to the 8th Street Pub. We looked for the ghosts. They were not around this morning, but we'll see if they're around this afternoon making the beer. You can check out the tour here. They have this spring training tour all throughout the month of March. They have the chicken tendies and the pizzas, which I smell right now, and they all smell so good.
Really, as
I'm doing the show, my mouth is literally watering, and I hate that.
I think the ghosts are nocturnal, by the way.
That's a good point, yeah. I mean, according to Disneyland Haunted Mansion rules, they are nocturnal, right?
Yeah.
But we are very excited to be here at Four Peaks. You should be here, too. And if you can't join us today, make sure to join us on April 27th for the NFL Draft, with the Cardinals having a new coach, new GM, and the third pick in the draft. Obviously a huge opportunity for this team to maybe get somewhere to where the Diamondbacks are. I don't know. I just have to throw that out there. But the best place to take in this pivotal moment in NFL history and the rest of the NFL draft on April 27th is right here at the Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. Must be 21 years or older to enjoy these wonderful beers and enjoy responsibly. That's why Jesse isn't having one, because he has a long 6 hours ahead of him of driving, checking into places or with friends, bags, all that kind of stuff. But if he needed to get a good night's sleep and he partook in this particular kind of thing, I would send him with some OGs to make sure he got a good night's sleep before opening day. You guys all should get your sleep. Tomorrow we're going to have some fun. We're going to be up late. Join us for the post-game show tomorrow night after the game. But also, we are going to have a watch party tomorrow. While Jesse is there covering the game live, I will be with Sean DePaz at PHNX Studios watching this game, commenting on this game, drinking more Four Peaks beers, and having a great time. And I will make sure to get a good night's sleep tonight with our friends from OG's and their Aquaberry Sleep Edition Gummy. It's CBN to THC 2-to-1 ratio to flavor. Flavors your dreams and make sure you get a good night's sleep. I've said this before, but not only does it help you get to sleep now and help you get that rest and relaxation you need, but it will get you back on track on a good sleeping schedule after you try some of those Sleep Edition gummies. So they are live and active, plus tons more. They have a wide variety of flavors and doses to try out. So as always, you can find them at your local dispensary by checking out ogsbrands.com. Must be 21 years or over to enjoy, and again, enjoy responsibly. Jesse, one thing that nobody is really talking about in MLB is the new rules that will be enforced starting tomorrow when it comes to the replay rule.
Oh, yeah. People are talking about the new rules.
We've talked all about all the new bases. Rules. Oh, people are obsessed with the bases. But the replay rule is actually something that should be discussed because it's going to have a huge impact on baseball.
Yeah, they've made some changes that will that are causing some concerns around baseball. And we won't dive too deep into this in this show. We'll dive into this maybe at some point later in the weekend.
We'll have some more for you for sure. But we'll see how it actually gets impacted once the season starts.
It's something to watch. So when you're watching opening day, and I'm sure you guys will maybe talk about this during the watch along, managers are basically being put in a position where they have to put their hand up on every single play.
Whenever they might want to review something, they have to hold their hands up immediately to signal to the umpires that they're thinking about challenging. Then once the hand goes up, they have 15-second replay clock that allows the manager at that point to determine if he wants to challenge.
Yeah.
And he has to decide before the clock hits zero. And
it's
manager,
not a lot of time for your video
it's
guy.
It's not a lot of time for your video guy. And honestly, a lot of this information being relayed all over during baseball games is part of the reason why baseball games take as long as they do in this modern era, right? They didn't used to have video guys that would be able to relay down to you so quickly about a replay. They didn't even fucking have replays before. So now this does beg the question, what could go wrong here, Jesse? Everything, right? I mean, it feels like this is a great opportunity to move in the wrong direction as far as like plays not being correctly called and not making sure the right thing happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. It might be a hot mess, Derek. It might be a hot mess. So
we'll all be watching it together.
We'll dive deeper into it at some point, but something to watch for this weekend.
For sure. But baseball season is here, and of course your fantasy drafts. Hope you got your fantasy draft all done. If you haven't, the place to get your information is from RotoWire. They are obviously a pioneer of fantasy sports for over 25 plus years. Everybody's heard of RotoWire. And they have everything you need to not only draft right, but to make sure you win your fantasy league. They have cheat sheets, player rankings, experts that will analyze all the baseball stats for you in the world. Plus, they have mock drafts galore, ask the expert functions, premium fantasy draft kits, so much to make sure you win the big day. So, and it's not just baseball, by the way. They have fantasy advice on everything, football, XFL, golf, soccer, NASCAR, and more. For a limited time, RotoWire is offering a free 2-day trial to our listeners. Just go to rotowire.com/phnx to register. No commitments at all. They are so confident that you'll like their product and want to invest in a subscription plan that they will not ask you for a credit card up front or anything else. So take a peek behind the paywall, and when the trial is done, you can decide if a RotoWire package is right for you. But of course, you need to make sure that you're saving big on opening day and all season long. So make sure on GameTime.co, excuse me, is where you get your tickets. Procrastinate, wait until the last minute, and save up to 60%.
Maybe someone wants to take a road trip tomorrow.
Maybe.
Find their way in a Dodger Stadium.
That would be the time. The time to do it would be tomorrow morning, and you could save up to 60% on tickets when you buy tickets last minute. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description below. One last thing before we get you guys out of here. We are going to give away a pair of tickets to Arizona Diamondbacks opening day. We are going to give away a pair of tickets for you to be at Chase Field for Arizona Diamondbacks opening day. So keep it tuned right here to PHNX Diamondbacks for more information on how to do that. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter. I am at @Cap_Caveman. This guy is at Jesse N. Friedman. Make sure to follow him definitely for all of his shenanigans in LA, because once you shenan, you know you shenanigan. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, and all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for being here. We are so excited. We hope you get your sleep tonight. On behalf of Damon, Emma, Jesse, and myself, we always appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but goddamn, it's so much better on opening day.